You have your Bibles, turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. We are glad to see each one this morning. Certainly glad to see all these young people here. All over the building. We're glad to see these little ones come. It's our hope and prayer that when the Lord deals with their heart, that they won't struggle. That they won't run for years and years. But the first time the Lord deals with their little tender heart, that they would trust the Lord and be saved. And I know saying that, you probably think, well, they might have young, but they'll be there before you know it. I guarantee you that. I watch mine grow up in about 2 weeks. It's coming. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations is to a large degree, a look back at former glory, especially for Israel, Judah. The nation of Judah is gone into captivity, and so they're lamenting over it. Jeremiah is lamenting over days gone by. He's lamenting over what he remembers. He remembers how Judah was so strong and such a big and wonderful city and Jerusalem. And now she, you know, at one point she was great among the nations. At one point, maybe even the greatest of all. And he talks about how she was full of people. Now he looks around and they're gone. He talks about how that Jerusalem was such a mighty and wonderful place, and now Jerusalem has been destroyed. And he said, now she weepeth. You think about the nation, she weepeth. And it's really, reading it can get you depressed if you let it, because you think of how good things are at one point and how bad they are just in a moment's time. And we know that anything bad in this world is brought about by sin. We understand that sin, it brought the thorns into the garden. Sin is the reason that a man has to earn things by the sweat of his brow. You know, it's why everything's so tough. And you get up and you face the day, and you try to have zeal to face the day, and I'm going to just, you know, attack the day. Or somebody says, seize the day. And I heard somebody say the other day, I think I seized the wrong day. This year has kind of been that way. Just seized the wrong year, so to speak. But that's just, we understand that's the way life is. And sin brought these things into the world. And it's no different for Jerusalem. God didn't mistreat them. God sent them warning after warning after warning. God would allow them to fall. And then they would plead to God. And God would fix things for them. And they would very quickly turn their eyes away from the Lord. And so now everything that they knew is gone. And it's just a memory. Even, you know, he talks about the rod of God's wrath being upon them, being upon the people, being upon Jerusalem, being upon Judah. And so Jeremiah cries out in Lamentations chapter 3 in verse 15. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. We'll cease reading with these verses. Now, as Jeremiah is speaking, and really you can just start in the beginning and go throughout the book, and you find this repetitive thing that I am broken. I am without peace. He says here, I am without peace at this moment. He recalls a time of peace. He recalls a time when things were good, but now, at this moment, there is no peace. And he says, thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. There, peace seems like it's so far in the distance. It's way, way out there. It's way back. He almost speaks like it's in a former lifetime. It's way out there. It's far away from me. He says, I'm without peace at this moment. He said, my strength and my hope has perished. And all this is a viewpoint whenever he is focusing on the things, the misery, the afflictions that he's facing. He's focused all of his attention on the misery. He's focusing all of his attention on the circumstances. He's focusing all of his attention on the problems that are before him. So he says, the rod of God's wrath is upon me. It's upon God's people. But then he recalls the Lord's mercies. And I want us to think about God's mercy this morning, because a lot of it, we think about what God is allowing. And you know, you think about America right now, and God has allowed this, and God has allowed that. And you hear people talk about the wrath of God seems to be upon our nation at this point. And I'm not going to go so far to say that's what that is, say that God's wrath has been poured out upon us. At some point in the future, during tribulation, His wrath is going to be poured out on all the world. But certainly we're seeing things that concern us, and we're seeing things that bother us, and we're seeing things that if we focus on the circumstances, we could be very miserable, and we could start thinking of how pitiful we have things at this moment. But then he recalls the mercies of God. Whenever we stop and consider, what is man that God is even mindful of us? What are we? We're just dust. That when God, He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are just dust. God knows that about us. And it's good for us, Brother Mike, to be reminded of that ourselves, that we are but dust. We are God's creation. We are simply nothing without Him. And so for God to even think about us is amazing. But when you stop and consider the mercies of God, because of mercy, Jeremiah said, we haven't been consumed. He looks around, boy, I tell you, that seemed like a lot of trouble. Things not like it used to be. Jerusalem has been destroyed, the beautiful city, the buildings that we built, the wall that we built, all these beautiful things. What are they? They're things. All these beautiful things that we have come to adore, things that have sentimental value to us, all these things have been destroyed. He said, but then I think about God's mercy. And because of His mercy, I haven't been consumed. Because of His mercy, I have hope in Him. Because of His mercy, I know that He's going to do good for me. One thing that is universal about humanity is that we mess up. It really does not matter how good you are. If you were honest with yourself, you would have to admit, I mess up. I make mistakes. And a lot of times we, as Brother Buddy mentioned in the Sunday school lesson this morning, over in Romans chapter 12, a lot of times we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And so I deserve for things to be good. I deserve for everything to go my way. Why is it that God is allowing something bad in my life? Why is God allowing something bad in my country? This is America. We are the land of the free and the home of the brave. We're one nation under God. Why would God allow something bad? And we get to thinking that we are something and we deserve more than what we're getting. But when we stop and consider God and who He is, and we stop and consider really us and who we are, oh, His mercy. God has been so merciful to us. I don't deserve to be saved. If there's anything good in me, it's because the Lord saved me and He come to abide with me. That's what's good about me. It's not because I was raised up in a good place and I was raised up by good parents and I went to a good church and, you know, all these things that we want to check the list and say, well, I'm better off than somebody else. The Lord saved me because He's merciful. And it's because of His mercies that I'm not consumed already. Because of mercy, I know that God is my Father and He's going to do good for me. So, I mess up. You mess up. We all do. The world is full of sinfulness. You know, one thing that's, we'll let you know right off the bat, evolution is wrong. Is evolution believes that we are getting better. That is a contradiction in itself. That we are evolving into something greater, something better. And then you look at humanity, and humanity has fallen apart. They've pushed God out of the equation, and we're going to do things on our own, and humanity has fallen apart. We do not do the things that we would like to do. Paul made that statement in so many words. The things that I would not, those are things that I do. The things that I want to do, or the things that I would do, I do not. He speaks about that spiritual struggle, the carnality in him, and the spiritual man that's in that constant battle. And he knows the Spirit's leading him to do good things, but he ends up messing up at the end of the day. And some things that he should be doing, he does not do because he's human. He even makes this statement. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." That's Paul. When I think about Paul, I tell you what, he's about as straight-laced as a man could be. He's not the average run-of-the-mill human being. He was a great, great man of God and used to probably do more for the church work than any other. And yet he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He said that because he looked at who he was. I'm the least of all the apostles. When I look at him, Brother Jake, I think Paul was the greatest of the apostles. He said, "I'm the least of all the apostles." I don't believe he was just saying that for some false humility. I believe he understood, "I am wretched. I am." He even tells us, he said, "You have no confidence in the flesh." Don't get confident in who you are or how good you are or the things that maybe you're doing today, because tomorrow you're going to mess up more than likely. So, sometimes when we fall off the horse, we make a mistake, we fall off the horse, it's a fearful thing to get back on it. I see a lot of people that are serving the Lord and have a great zeal to serve the Lord at some point, and then they make a mistake. It's hard for them to get back to where they were. It's hard for them to go back to church. It's hard for them to feel like God can use me. And if we're not careful, we'll get to thinking so highly of ourselves. "Boy, I used to be so good and now I'm not so good," that we'll give ourselves a pity party. "Oh, God just can't do anything with me anymore." And there's a lot of people that look back at former days of how I used to be. I used to be good. I used to be faithful. I used to be someone that the church counted on. I used to be someone that people had great respect for. But now I've made this mistake. Now I'm not as good as I used to be. Let me say this with all due respect. It never was about you to start with. Anything you were doing that was good was for the glory of God. If you've made a mistake, you need to understand it's a mistake. And I've got to get back to where I need to be with the Lord. How do you do that? Repent. Turn back to the Lord. When you fall off the horse, it's important to get back on Him. But a lot of times people, oh, I remember the fall. I knew better and I messed up. I sinned. I sinned willfully. I didn't have the faith that I thought I had. Failure can beat us up very badly. Sometimes the hardest person in the world to forgive is yourself. You know God forgive you. That's who our God is. It's for the, if it wasn't for the mercies of God, He would have already, we'd already be destroyed. Thank the Lord that God is not like Brad O'Neill. I want to be more like him. But I failed. But God is a God of forgiveness. He forgives. His mercies are renewed every day. That's a beautiful thing. God's mercies are renewed every day. Jeremiah has a pity party. A woe is me moment. A doom and gloom view of life. Because of my own sorriness, because of our sorriness, because we've allowed this to happen. He's going on basically, oh, I'm unfit. But then he remembers God's mercy. I want to preach that thought. Every moment in life is a moment you can start over. As long as the Lord allows you to live, as long as you take your next breath, so I'm at the bottom of the barrel, you know you can be on your way back up. Just like that. You can rise from the bottom of the barrel. You can eat from the hog trough, and I'm not trying to make a loophole, say go do whatever you want to and just turn around and do, you know, ask God to forgive you and, you know, have that mindset. Remember, God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, but you can be eating from the hog trough at one moment and come to yourself and be eating the fatted calf by the end of the day. That's who God is. God is a God of mercy. There is a reaping now that comes with mistakes. If we plant bad seed, we can expect a bad crop to some degree. There's consequences that come with sin. If you go out and commit murder, you can say, I'm sorry, and I truly repent, but there's still some consequences. You may have to serve some time. Consequences for our actions. But I tell you what, it is far, far better to repent and fall upon the neck of a merciful God than it is to just continue on until you find out about His wrath. It is far better. God is merciful. God is loving. And so He wants us to come to Him with a broken and a contrite heart. God wants us to come to Him. So don't just say, well, I've messed up. I'm no good for anything anymore. I'm useless. You know, that nobody respects me anymore. Nobody, nobody give me a chance or anything. God will. God wants us to return to Him. Look at Psalms 85. Psalms 85, verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto the land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Mercy and truth have met together. That's what we need as God's people. Oh, I failed, Brother Brad. I have failed the Lord. I have not done the things that I should do. I feel like I am such a failure. Well, you know what needs to happen this morning? God's mercy and your truth need to meet together. Don't try to pull the wool over the Lord's eyes. Don't try to make things okay. And don't try to use the fact you've messed up as some loophole to continue on messing up. Be truthful with the Lord. Do you want to be close to him? You know how close you are to the Lord? You've heard this many times. As close as you want to be. You're as close to the Lord as you want to be. Could you be closer? Could I be closer? I'll tell you what. We had a good Sunday school lesson this morning. Being addicted to the call of God. Being addicted to the work of God. I had to ask myself the question, am I addicted to the work of God? It means you crave it. You got to have it. You want to do more. Is that where we are this morning? Do I want to give him my all? Paul said, as much as in me is. I don't know that you could be much more zealous than that. As much as in me is. Is that how much I want to do the work of God this morning? Do I want to be that close to him? To where as much as in me is, I am ready to try to win a soul to the Lord? I've been studying on mission work lately. Getting out into the community, getting out into surrounding areas, going to the world, because people need to hear the gospel. Is that really my burden? Mercy and truth are met together. It's urgent that we get real and truthful with God. If I've fallen off the faithful horse, so to speak, it's time to get back on that horse again. Righteousness is coupled with peace. You can't live a righteous life and expect to have peace if you are not what you need to be with the Lord. He said, they have kissed each other, righteousness and peace. If I'm living a righteous life, I can expect peace. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Brother, there's no peace right now. Maybe we need to pucker up. We need to be more righteous. We need to get right with the Lord. God's mercy is dependable. It is blessed assurance. It waits for you to come to yourself and return. Let me give you an example. David. There's parts of that story to this day I still scratch my head about. David committed adultery. He took another man's wife and went into her. And she was with child. Look at how harshly we would judge something like that. And then to cover it up, he takes her husband and puts him on the front lines and commands his troops to back up to leave him there just as a sitting duck so he'd be killed. That is murder. That's what that is. That's murder. is murder in his heart, whether he was the one that killed him or not. Murder in his heart. How do we judge that? We look at that, that's unforgivable. But God had mercy on him. I know we say, well, there's some things worse than death, and you know, he lost a child and a lot of other things that David had to deal with. Yes, there's consequences for sin, but God judged him in mercy. And there was even a time where David was able to get back to a good standing with the Lord. He found mercy, even though he had to endure great consequences. If I've got to endure some consequences for seeds I've sown, I want to endure it with the mercy of God. Peter betrayed the Lord. I do not know him. And then you read about how God uses him so great. He stands to deliver a message there in Jerusalem, filled with the Holy Ghost. Such a powerful apostle. He's the man that denied the Lord. But God used him. Go back in the Old Testament. Abraham, the father of faith, that man put his wife like a lamb to the slaughter. He laid her out there and said, she's my sister, and was going to just let whatever happened happen. Without going into too much detail, imagine how a wife must feel if the husband don't care more for her than that. You say, well, things were different back then. They were a lot different back then. But God still turned him around. He used him. Even Jonah got a second chance. I will not preach what God said to preach. I'll run as far as I can in the other direction. And God got his attention. Sin has consequences. But he gave him another chance, didn't he? Don't throw yourself a pity party when the father is ready to offer up the fatted calf. Don't focus on the dung that's behind you. Focus on the cross that is before you. I'm not saying ignore sin. Address it. Be honest about it. Understand you are human. You've made a mistake. The best you can do now with that mistake is to go set it before God and say, God, I need you to forgive me of this. Help me to never do it again. I'm not telling you words to pray, but just the thought that help me to not make this mistake anymore. Woman taken in adultery in the very act. Jesus said, where are those that condemn thee? They're all gone. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Don't do it anymore. This morning, I feel like I can't get across the thought that's on my heart, but let me just close with this. It never was about you to start with. You say, well, I was living such a good life, but it was not about you. If it was about you, it's not as good as you thought it was. It never was about you. It's about bringing Christ glory, bringing Him honor and glory. And if you've made a mistake, you can bring Him glory by dropping that mistake before Him. And let Him forgive you of it, and then get back on the horse. Do what's right. Drop your pride or whatever stands in your way and trust in the mercies of God. This is your moment. Right here, right now, this is your moment. Lost or saved, this is your moment. If you're lost, put all that pride away. Oh, I've done this and I've... So what? Never was about you. You're a sinner. Guess what? So was I. A wicked, rotten sinner, deserving of hell, but because of the mercy of God, I don't have to go. Because of the mercies of God, you don't have to go. God's grace. Jesus died for you on the cross, rose the third day. If you will believe what Jesus did is good enough, again, it's not about you. It's about what Christ did. He will save you if you'll believe in Him. We'll ask for a song.